You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network. It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Vacation alert from the three-row Jeep Grand Cherokee L. Mama and Papa want to go hiking. Los abuelos want to relax at the beach. And the kids want to go to the amusement park. With seating for up to seven, you and your loved ones can enjoy all these adventures and more. Jeep, there's only one. Visit Jeep.com to learn more. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
You feel this nervousness on the phone there?
Sir, I've been trying to make an urgent phone call up there.
I don't think it's something I want to do on an overseas phone.
You gotta make some phone calls. Hang up the phone. Prank caller.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Packernet After Dark. This is the call-in show of the Packernet Podcast Network. If you'd like to call in, if you'd like to participate in the show, please feel free to do so. The phone number here is 608-501-0718. New callers go directly to the front of the line. We don't have any new callers today, so let's get started with our buddy Kyle.
Hey, buddy.
What's up?
When you're breaking down, you know, I'm sure you've got, you know, basically 4 months of content from the weekend, but when you're breaking down these draft picks over the weekend, I was wondering if just kind of one of the things you can keep an eye on is their blitz potential from the secondary. Because as I'm kind of looking 30,000 foot view, it seems like these guys are really good blitzers. Like, I think it was Evan Williams, just a lot of these guys. It seems like a lot of these guys he took are really good. When they dial up pressure from the secondary, they get home. And that's pretty cool because, like, honest to God, how many times in the last couple of years can you even remember us bringing secondary pressure? Like, half a dozen? I remember the one where Jair accidentally blew his assignment, and he's like, oh, screw it, I'll just blitz. And then he got a safety a couple of years ago in Minnesota. But, like, that was an accident. Like, it doesn't happen. But some of these guys look like they're really good, really good blitzers. So, I would just be curious when you're doing your deep dive, and just kind of keep an extra eye on that because, you know, it's not something we've really done a lot of, and it looks like Hafley might be. I don't know why else you take guys with such extra specialized skill like that if it isn't something you're going to employ going forward. So, I don't know. Just want your thoughts. Maybe keep an eye on it. I don't have the advanced statistics like you do, but it appears that just from watching their highlight packages, these guys are all really good disguising and then bringing the blitz and getting home with the blitz. So, all right, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough because, I mean, there's a couple different factors. Number one is usage, which is really easy to determine because it's just a statistic. So, for example, two of the guys were used quite a bit, one not at all, and that's Javon Bullard. 0% in 2023. Oladapo, whatever, was the highest among our guys at 7%. Evan Williams was at 5%. That ranks 7th and 11th out of the 30 safeties. So it's relatively high. Then when you get into the actual ability to get home, it's kind of the only caveat I have in the back of my head is, it's not entirely you. It could be, you know, schematic. Could just be calling the right plays at the right time, but you figure it, if you're at or near the top of the list, you're probably quite good at it. Evan Williams, as you mentioned, was extremely good at this. He was the third highest in pressure percentage, which, you know, how many times when you got scented on a blitz did you generate a pressure? He was 55%. Vaki was 63, and Demerson was 83, which is pretty psychotically high. But the other thing then is sack percentage, where actually Evan Williams was the second highest. 25% of the time when he got sent on a blitz, he generated a sack. Oladapo, really not terrible with those statistics either. He was 16th with pressure, which is pretty much middle of the pack, but 9th in terms of sack percentage. So yeah, I think at least two of the guys that we've gotten have experience and are both relatively good at it, with Evan Williams being the very clear and obvious guy at the top of that list. But then there's also the question of ability in terms of just because they did or didn't do it doesn't mean the Packers necessarily do or don't like them for that. I'm primarily looking at Bullard saying Georgia didn't want him doing that. I wonder if the Packers will. I think he has the ability, I mean, just athletically, but also if you want him to be on the in the slot occasionally, like especially if you're a rotational guy, I think that's a prime candidate. If you've got a safety that's up high and occasionally you want to put him right on the line, I mean, I specifically want him once in a while being able to get after the quarterback. So it'll be interesting. I mean, it's going to be interesting in general just to see who gets used where. And the Packers don't know that either. Obviously, they come into this with a general idea of what they think they're going to be able to do, what they think they're better at, worse at, whatever. But just seeing these guys compete is going to be crazy. I mean, even if you think of about it, and this is much higher level. We drafted these guys earlier, but remember when we drafted three offensive linemen, tackles, whatever? And I said, man, if we just get one guy out of it, and we did, we got Runyon. Now, Runyon had a terrible year last year and is now off the team, which is unfortunate because it looked like he was going to be a solid pick. But I have a similar mentality, maybe a little bit more strict because of how early we drafted him. But if we could get one really good player and one solid starter out of this, that is a freaking grand slam. That might be unreasonable, but that would be unbelievable if we could get that. And if all three start, kind of regardless of how good they are, if you get three starters out of this, that's just freaking ridiculous. But yeah, it'll be interesting, man. And I do hope they kind of mix and match and, you know, send different guys at different times with different packages. I'm looking forward to that.
What's going on? Good morning, Firefighter. How y'all doing?
What's up, man?
I used to draft, and I'm sure I'm probably plenty of people have called before I just called. But I wanted to say it's like a tale of two halves to me in this draft. You know, I like the first half more than the second half of the draft. I feel like we kind of kept trading down to accumulate picks, and I was kind of confused because I feel like we have a lot of holes. And then we got like three safeties, and I'm sure they can say they can play cornerback as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I feel like it was better cornerbacks on the board, and we was just kind of like, just trade down. And I don't like the fact we didn't draft a defensive tackle, because I feel like we don't have a really one-stopping defensive tackle. So maybe we'll sign one in free agency. But that was a concern of mine. And, you know, I know normally they say when it's a deep class, like, that's usually he'll pick up some. And it wasn't a deep safety class or cornerback class, I would say. And we kind of got a whole bunch of the safeties. So it's kind of a little confusing on that. It was, you know, and I wanted us to get some more O-line depth earlier, because I feel like we could have got some starters at guard, versus we got like the safety Williams. It's like, and then we got another safety, like a pick, you know, after that. So it's kind of confusing. Like, man, you could have got a starting guard in the fourth round and then have some competition. But, you know, it is what it is. I do like the O-lineman we drafted. But, you know, I'm kind of comparing our draft. I know we do a good job. I trust Scoot. So I don't want to not have faith in the process. But I will just say this. I will kind of like the Lions draft. They did. I feel like they got, like, four starters added to their team and Philly. Same way, like they drafted some players and they copped it. It's like both teams hopped in front of us, but I feel like they got starters. Like Eagles secondary was trash and they shored it up. But again, you know, I guess we got faith in all our receivers and not have an alpha. And hopefully Christian Watson can turn into that, and I hope he doesn't get injured. Because I just feel like we only got like one or two speed receivers, and just I feel like depth is always good, and we have that, but we don't have a burner like that, like an extra burner that I feel like could dominate, you know. So, but either way, you know, they'll be good. This is our division definitely got better.
So a couple things. I mean, certainly, if we wanted to trade out a few things, we could. I mean, we definitely doubled and tripled up a lot, which makes it hard to really cover a wide swath of positions. I would have personally liked edge. You know, defensive tackle would have made sense. I think we have a ton of tackles. It'd just be nice to get some run defense. Corner, I agree. I think, you know, obviously we liked a lot of the corners that were there. Obviously, the negative is anything you swap out, you have to lose a guy, you know, which I don't know that I necessarily want to do because I really like the guys that we got. We'll just see how it pans out, man. I don't really know. Obviously, the Packers didn't feel as strongly about a lot of the guys as we did. And some of the positions either just didn't fall the way that they needed to in order for us to get them, or they didn't feel it was really that pressing of a need. As far as the Lions, you know, so tomorrow's podcast, I go over the Bears, Lions, and Vikings draft class, especially the Bears, obviously, because that, you know. When I first did it, I looked at the Lions and Vikings, and I said, you know, I kind of like it. Then I looked at the trades, and it's like, I'm sorry, you all get Fs. Like, you all get, the trades are so bad. For all three teams, the trades are terrible. Did you realize all three teams traded next year's draft picks in this draft class? Every single one of them traded, for example, a third for a fourth or a fourth for a fifth, which is so unbelievably stupid. All three teams did it. Packers obviously did not. And the day that they do is the day that I will say that Goot did something unbelievably stupid. Don't ever do that. On top of that, I don't know. We'll see how many end up starting. I mean, it could be one. You know, we got to remember that a lot of these guys are probably, you know, once you get further down the draft, becomes much more unlikely that they end up starting. And then on top of that, there's a pretty high hit rate, even for the first, or miss rate, even for the first round. But, you know, at first glance, I mean, Terrion Arnold, fantastic player. And I mean, I shouldn't say fantastic player. We all really liked him. I love Terrion. I shouldn't say love, but I would have loved to have gotten Terrion Arnold. And they got him at 24 when he was at least consensus board. Obviously, the NFL wasn't as high, significantly higher. Ennis Rakestra, I really like. They need corners. They got two that I think are pretty solid. The huge question mark is Giovanni Manu, offensive tackle out of British Columbia. I mean, that's not really a... He was consensus like 350, and they don't really need tackles. So unless they're planning on being a guard, and even that, I don't know. They got Sione Vaki in the fourth round, which, you know, they could use certainly another safety. They've got Branch to be sort of a slot slash safety kind of guy, maybe like what we're hoping Bullard will be kind of thing. But, you know, it's a fourth round pick. It's kind of iffy that he's going to start. And if he does be any good, Mekhi Wingo in the sixth round, very unlikely because they have, I mean, he'll be in the rotation probably, but very unlikely to be a starter because they got two really good guys on the interior. And then Christian Mahogany is not going to start this year. Maybe somewhere down the line he will, but as a sixth round pick, just unlikely to begin with. So, I mean, I'm looking at it saying Terrion Arnold is going to start. Rakestra is a question mark. Manu is a no. Vaki's a question mark. Wingo is, I mean, he'll be a player, maybe. Starter, no. And Mahogany will not play in year one. And that doesn't even speak to the fact that they overpaid by double to get Terrion Arnold. They used a third round pick, and the excess value is worth a third round pick to get Terrion Arnold. Giovanni Manu, they took, I think, at the end of the fourth round, one of the last picks in the fourth round, they used a 2025 third to get him. That is psychotic. And then one of these other picks, I think they did kind of the same thing. So, horrifically bad from a trading standpoint. However, you know, if Arnold and Rakestra and Vaki and Wingo and Mahogany within the next couple years end up being starters, either from, you know, mid-range to high-range, this is going to end up being a great class. So I'll grant them, I do really like several of the picks, but we got to see how it shakes out. And again, the trading for all three teams, F-, just horrific. The Lions, at the very least, like forfeited two third-round picks. Probably like it better than last year's draft, though, so I'll give them that much credit. And again, they got a ton of guys that I actually really appreciate.
Well, it got cut off, like I'm sure other people did. Our division definitely got better.
Yeah.
But we got, like, mad wide receivers, so I'm assuming that they feel like Stokes is going to be good. You know, and Stokes and Valentine and Jair. Because I don't really.
At least good enough for now. I mean, similar to defensive tackle, like it would have been nice to get a better run defender, but we got guys. Like we'll be fine there. Wide receiver, I mean, could we add to it? Yeah, but we're good. Tight end, same thing. So it's one of those where we know we can get by. Linebacker and safety, I don't think we could have got by with that. I mean, it was devastatingly awful, the guys that we had available to us. And you can disagree maybe a little bit about linebacker, but, I mean, we had, if you even like Quay, maybe somewhere between zero and two starters. Quay needs to get better. And McDuffie, I appreciate, but again, he's grading out in like the 50s. Eric Wilson is a special teamer. That would have been our three in a 4-3 defense with no depth. That's not going to work. And we had Xavier McKinney and nobody, period. Forget depth. We don't have a number two safety. So those were the two things that I felt were pretty much devastating. Possibly interior offensive line with guard. Actually, not possibly. I mean, definitively. I think center is something a lot of people are looking at, but that's another one the Packers are thinking. Not that they won't try to up the competition level and find a new center if it happens, but we got a guy that we can field at least for a year, and that's what we're going to roll with. And I feel like that's similar to what we're doing with corner. Between Stokes and Valentine and Ballantyne, we can survive a year. It's not anywhere near as bad as some of the corner situations we've had in the past. We're hoping to see some improvement from Stokes coming back healthy. We're hoping to see some general overall improvements with the new defensive coordinator. Some help with, you know, the improvement at linebacker and safety will obviously help to take some weight off of the corners and whatnot. So I don't think it was a conscious decision to not draft corner, but I also don't think they were in a situation where they were panicked so much that they had to get corner. We obviously got one in the seventh round. And when you use a first round pick on a tackle and you have two devastating needs that are not corner, it becomes, you know, and then again, we put a cutoff maybe after the fourth round and say, after this, there's no reason to expect the guys to start. We've got second, third, and fourth round to get a bunch of safeties and linebackers. There's not much left for corner. So it's tough. I mean, and that's the thing with the draft. It's, I think the Packers' mentality, and again, obviously they're trying to fill some needs that they feel are somewhat devastating, but I think beyond that, you know, we see it as how do you maximize your potential, and they see it as let's go get some good players, throw them in there and see what happens. You know, raising the competition level kind of thing. Anyways, why don't we take our first break? We'll come back and hear from Trucker Bob.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear debris with the 40-volt jet fan leaf blower. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Sephora, we know how you love to use makeup, skincare, hair care, and fragrances that work for you, but also how important it is to be in the know about the ingredients that are in them, which is why we created Clean at Sephora. Curated products from brands like Merit, Amika, Summer Fridays, and Fleur that have everything you want, minus certain ingredients you might not. Clean at Sephora is only at Sephora. Shop now at Sephora.com.
Hey, Ryan. This is Trucker Bob.
Hey.
Sitting out here in Iowa. waiting for this storm to pass over with all the hurricanes and stuff. Truck got all wet, but we're just fine. Anyways, I had a question for you about the draft, and this is my question. For $50 million,
oh boy,
you can win the lottery by choosing the six correct numbers, and you win $50 million.
Wow.
Or you pick the first six picks of the NFL draft, and you guess correctly the six players Goody picks. Which one do you think you have better odds at? The lottery or Goody's first six picks? Be interesting to hear what you have to say.
Well, I would assume it's the lottery. You do have a slight advantage, especially early on, because the window of picks, although it's certainly bigger than you would expect, it's not, I'm assuming with the lottery, we're talking about 100 numbers six different times, right? The problem with the draft is you're picking from over three. Like I said, the Lions in what, the fourth, fifth round picked a guy at about 350. Now, again, in the first round, you're not picking from a pool of 350. So it'd kind of be a draft that's set up where it's like, pick a number between 1 and 30, and then pick a number between 1 and 100, and then it just goes from there. But by the time you get to the later rounds, you're picking from a pool of probably about 200, because some guys even fall. You could say, well, you know, if you're picking at 145, you can eliminate the first 100. Yeah, most of the top 100, but I don't know. Some of these guys are going to slide. So even though you do get somewhat of an advantage of understanding the Packers and their tendencies and whatnot, you know, like, for example, more people nailed Gutekunst's first pick than would have guessed, you know, between 1 and 100 or 1 and 99 or whatever. I honestly don't know how the lottery works, but I think it's something like that. And maybe could even get the first two. But like I said, after a while, I think the odds start to tip. And I think by the time you get to six picks, maybe you could say like three, maybe four, I would consider going Packers. When you get out to six, though, I think you're better off with the lottery. Just my, could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Good question.
Hey, Ryan, it's me.
Hey.
What's
up, man?
So, I just passed the whole day watching highlight videos about our picks, and man, I'm excited. I'm really excited. This defense is going to be fast. It's going to be physical. It's aggressive. I love it. I'm just a little bit worried about the penalties, because these guys, they play with their head on fire. And you know what? I love it. So I just hope we don't get too much hurt, you know, with the penalties. But man, I think that these were the guys that we needed. We addressed the safety room, and we have a couple guys there that could play nickel. We addressed the linebacker room, especially with Cooper. Cooper is a standard guy. He's fast. He's a progressive beast, man. He's just an animal playing, you know, like a hungry bear or tiger, you know, but just amazing. So, yeah, and you know what? I'm pretty excited about our offensive line as well. I really like Smoke. I drafted him on most of my mocks. Didn't think that the Packers would go that way. I was happy to know they did. And Jordan Morgan is a player that I actually like. Since you talked about him in your podcast when the robot drafts him. And you know what? I think he's pretty good. We have a pretty good offensive line, really flexible. Our defense is just mean, and our team as a whole is really young, because we had like a billion draft picks, so we just kept our team young. And you know what? I feel like this time we're going for the trophy. We're going for the Lombardi. So, yeah. I'm excited. Talk to you soon. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and it may take some time. You know, I mean, you look at the offense. We got a new quarterback. We got a bunch of new tight ends. We got some new wide receivers. And then a pile of second-year guys on top of that. I mean, the almost the entire offense was comprised of first- and second-year guys on top of all the injuries and everything else. It took until mid-season maybe a little bit after, for things to really start to click. And that's with, in my estimation, in my opinion, a pretty talented, offensive play caller. That also is with an offensive play caller that had been with a lot of these guys before, right? He has implemented the scheme and all that stuff. So there's a solid foundation built. And it took until, let's just say, about week 10 for things to be like, okay, this is legit. Now we got a guy that's got to implement a new scheme, change to a 4-3. I mean, even the guys that have been here have got to make some changes. And then on top of that, we do have a bunch of youth. And it's going to take some time. You know, you hope to start to see some of the fruits. And if we can get something by midseason, I'm going to be really excited. We saw last year getting there by midseason is good enough to get you in the playoffs as long as you don't completely crap the bed. Plus, we're hoping that the offense is still playing at a high level, in which case, you know, even a struggling defense, you can win still a bunch of games. I mean, we had a struggling defense last year, and the year before we won a bunch of games, but I agree, man. It's kind of getting to that point in the draft season now where, you know, you start to see some of the highlights and you start to really picture these guys playing. I mean, just individually, you know, as the pick comes in, you're like, oh, some safety I've never heard of, whatever. And then, you know, you start seeing the highlights of this guy and you realize he's one of a pile of guys. It's like, oh my good Lord. Like, I cannot wait to see, you know, what they're going to be able to do. And just knowing that somebody's going to pop off, you know what I mean? Like, that's not, you know, and that's forgetting about this running back that, I mean, legitimately could be a stud. That's forgetting about, you know, the offensive tackle that, you know, granted he's our first round pick, but you ask around, it's like, that's the dude, you know? I mean, obviously you ask Bears, Lions, Vikings fans, they're all, oh, you picked some guy that's not even a star. Our tackle, Amagaji's got better potential than your tackle. But anyways, in all seriousness, you know, these guys are really excited. And that's the best part about Gutekunst getting us so many picks. You know, again, I mean, the Lions got some studs for sure. But you're looking at two or three guys going, man, I hope it pans out. And of the, let's call it four. Of the four, you're really hoping to get one or two. As far as, first of all, can they even start over the guys we have? Second of all, are they going to be good? You know, there's going to be lower than 50% hit rate, unless it's just a great draft class, which happens. But as far as your expectations go, you shouldn't be expecting an above 50% hit rate, depending on your definition of hit, I guess. But, you know, for us, there's a lot of guys. You know, our first round pick, both of our second round picks, these guys are going to play. They're going to start. So, yeah, I'm very excited to see it, and we'll see how long it takes to manifest. But I'm pumped for the potential, at least.
After marinating on the draft for, you know, a couple days, thinking about all the different prospects, a prospect that I didn't like at first, but I really think I like, is Tyrone Hopper. Because you go back and you look at his PFF grades throughout the history, and, like, he's been solid all the way up until last year. Last year was like his first down year, but he's got a couple good baseline years, especially 2022. He had an 80 overall grade when you actually go down into it. He had an 80 run defense and an 80 coverage grade. And just everything about him, his athleticism, and just the story of how the defense changed a little bit on him, and they were trying to figure it out as time went on in 2023. At least that's what I've heard. I don't know if that's accurate, but I'm not going to just say that's true or not, but it makes sense because he's, you know, he's got a 65-ish average, right? I don't want to do the math and going through and adding it all up, dividing, figuring out the exact average, but he's, to me, like in college, he's, you know, a 70 average, 65 average guy. And then all of a sudden, this one year where he just drops to a 50, it's like, all right, well, they must have talked to the coaches and got something else. You know, they must have, something happened, right? So, a lot of good picks. I like Hopper a lot. And then I also just think they were like the locker room they have, and they want to protect the character. So they went out and just got good character guys, guys that want to work. And I can appreciate that. We'll see if they can work into something usable in our team, but figure it out. That's all I got. Go Pack Go.
Yeah, I'm excited to start getting excited about Hopper, first of all. you know, digging into that a little bit more. One of the things that I'm going to start doing is sort of finding people that were high on these guys and then start talking to them a little bit, because obviously they have some perspectives that we're going to want to hear. Beyond that, though, I do agree with what you're saying. I mean, they went out. I used to hate it. It used to be my least favorite thing about the Packers and the way that they draft is their focus on character. I don't care. I figured there was some marginal benefit to it. But, you know, again, seeing the chaos that we've endured, and on top of that, how much fun it is when you got a group of guys that are just out there having a good time. And it's not only the fact that they're high character, you know, leadership type guys, guys that, you know, have not only held leadership roles, but are admired by their coaches and by their you know, fellow teammates, but they're also just a certain type of character. You know, it's interesting because I always think of the Packers as wanting guys that are borderline soft in a way. You know, they're very nice. They're very, you know, whatever. They also, in the same vein, are going out and finding high character guys that on the field are kind of D-bags a little bit. Like, every single one of them is really well known for being, you know, maybe a little bit iffy as far as the hits that they're throwing out there. They're big-time talkers. Very violent, very aggressive, very much alpha energy on the football field. And I think the Packers have been dinged for being soft for a long time, and I think they're trying to move in a different direction. I think Ted Thompson kind of started that shift early. I think Brian Gutekunst has carried that. They're trying to get guys that have, you know, a little bit more alpha energy. All right, let's take our final break. We'll come back and hear from Mr. Ryan Santos. We'll be right back.
Have you ever spotted McDonald's hot, crispy fries right as they're being scooped into the carton? And time just stands still. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, what's going on, Ryan? It's Ryan Santos.
What's up?
Hey, just calling a check-in. It's been a long time since I checked in with Packernet After Dark.
Yeah, man.
Just woke up this morning, was going to my podcast and saw that you're in your 2,000th episode.
Yeah.
I just wanted to call and say congratulations, man. It's crazy the time that's flown by. That's just great, man. That's great. It's been a long journey. Wishing you another 2,000 and another 2,000 and 1,000 score more. I'm still listening. My children are still listening. We love your show, man. And how it's grown. We love Clayton. We love it all, man. So no Packers content in this call. Just wanted to wish you a happy 2000 episode, and just let you know, man, that this is still the number one podcast out there. So keep doing your thing, and I just hope that more good things happen for you and your family, man. All right, take care.
Appreciate that, man. I talked about it plenty of times, but Ryan is one of the OGs and has been there since day one, and really appreciate him and everybody else that's been along for the ride, even some of the latecomers. You guys have been some of the more loyal and excited, so I'm excited about that. So, yeah, don't really intend to stop. So here's to 2,000 more.
Hey, Ryan, it's Aaron from Eau Claire. I hope all is well.
Yeah.
Just enjoyed the draft this weekend. Enjoyed watching your coverage, so thanks for providing that. That
Thank
was
you.
Really nice and fun, and made it feel like it was a fun get-together of Packers fans talking about what was going on. So I really appreciated that and enjoyed it. As far as the draft itself, I would say it was a very utilitarian draft.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, that's exactly what I think they needed. And I think it's in a lot of ways what I was hoping for. I wasn't, you know, wanting to be like blown away by some crazy pick they made. Whatever. I just wanted to see more players added, especially to fill out some of the positions on their team that have kind of been weaknesses or maybe just lack depth or consistency. So I really did like the first round pick of a versatile athletic O-lineman. I think that made a lot of sense. The safety and linebackers picks made a lot of sense as well, because that's always an area that's been an area that we've just kind of had a bit of a revolving door cast, and it's been hard to find some consistency at those positions. And then just to kind of round it off with a running back, a nice dynamic running back was nice. So I think they feel pretty good about receiver. I think they feel pretty good about corner. I think they feel pretty good about the D-line and the pass rush. And, yeah, I don't know. I guess pass rush, they could use someone else, some younger talent, but it didn't seem like it was there in the draft for them and at the premium, you know, places they were picking. So that may be the one thing that I'm a little iffy on is the pass rush depth. You know, I know they have obviously Rashawn and Preston Smith and Kingsley and Igbare, and then they have some D linemen, but that would be the one thing that I'm a little concerned about going into the season, but let me know your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it's a utilitarian draft, and it certainly was. It felt, you know, they're always lean a little bit toward needs, enough that you can look at it and say, okay, this is obviously not a blind best player available process. This one definitely felt strong in that regard, in part because, as you said, we kind of ignored some things that are semi-needs, you know, edge and corner, while going all in on, like, the main needs, linebacker and safety, to be specific, and then offensive line, right? We need a new tackle, we need a guard. Also, because they're generally, tackle excluded, lesser-needed positions. Safety, running back, linebacker, I mean, they hammered the crap out of the least valuable positions, you know. But at the same time, this is one thing that the Packers tend to do, and they do successfully, and we know this, where you kind of triple up on a position of need, hammer the crap out of it, and somebody's going to hit. And they just happen to do that with like three different positions this year. You know, we got to get linebacker fixed, and so we went and got Edrin Cooper and Tyron Hopper. We need safety fixed, and so we go get Javon Bullard and follow that up with Evan Williams, and then follow that up with, you know, Ketan Oladapo. We need offensive line help. We get Jordan Morgan. We then get Jacob Monk, and then we get Travis Glover. So of all the massive amounts of picks that we got, I mean, excluding those that I just mentioned, we got a running back, a quarterback, and a corner. That's it. We had 9 picks in other positions. But, you know, again, it is somewhat of a winning strategy in that you're playing the numbers. You assume somebody's going to get to be that guy, and you hope that it's most of them, obviously, if not all, probably not all, but you know, you look at it and go, hey, linebacker and safety should be better. Offensive line should be better.
Hi, Ryan. It's Randy in Minnesota.
What's up?
Just want to pitch in. I'm really excited about our draft. It was interesting. It seems like they drafted for flexibility, interchangeability. I wonder if that's a new way of drafting, or maybe Green Bay's ahead of the curve on this. But I found it really interesting how many players they're looking at are going to possibly and probably play positions other than what they were listed at. I just found it really interesting. And I'm so glad to find out that Minnesota is now going to be the world champions, the Super Bowl champions, because they drafted J.J. McCarthy, because they're that good. Yeah, it was really interesting. That's all I got for today. Appreciate what you do. Go Pack, go. Bye.
Yeah, I'm pretty insulated to everything that's going on except what happens on social media. So, you know, I engage with Bears fans and whatnot, so I hear from them. So I can't imagine what you're enduring with Vikings fans and likewise people in Michigan are putting up with. But, like I said, most of the Vikings fans I've seen are pretty pessimistic, but who knows, maybe they're back on the train now that they got that going. But yeah, I mean, you know, the Packers have been doing this for quite some time now. I know even back in the, you know, mid to late Ted Thompson era, there was a lot of talk about needing to be versatile, needing to be multiple, needing to be able to do a lot of different things. That's just the way the NFL is moving, and the Packers have really taken that borderline to the extreme. I mean, they very rarely like to get guys that have played one position, and even when they do, there's still talk about potentially moving them, like Jordan Morgan, right? He's a tackle. That's what he does. Like, yeah, he might be a guard, though. You never know. You know, they even came out and said, we think he can play four positions for us. So, yeah, I think it's kind of twofold. Number one, it's that the NFL is a very multiple type of league, and so you need hybrid players. And then on the other hand, I think the Packers just view it as, you know, you draft Jordan Morgan, you're kind of drafting for four positions at once. So if it doesn't work out as a tackle, guess what? He was never a tackle. He's a right guard. You know, well, that doesn't work out. Well, maybe he's our new center then. One way or another, we're going to find the spot for this guy on the football field, as opposed to just a straight up pass fail at that one position. Anyways, it's getting kind of late here. We're going to stop just a touch early because we're creeping up on 10 o'clock as it is. So I'm going to get out of here. You guys have a good rest of your day. I will talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
To another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.